Midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. This is Michael Russo. Thanks for everybody for listening. My guest today is Andrew Height, the Wild's director of team operations and player relations. You've heard him. I've probably done 7 or 8 podcasts with him, and they're always just a blast because he brings everybody through the travel and his daily life. We call him the Department of One. Now he's got an ATM machine in his office too, which is pretty cool. We'll talk about that on the podcast, but I hope you enjoy this podcast because he'll bring you through how hard it was to book a Vegas trip in the middle of the Super Bowl. He'll take you through the Duluth trip and then obviously what it's like been like to book the Sweden trip, which is actually coming up here in less than a month. I'll be going on that as well as Joe Smith. In fact, The Athletic has 7 writers going to Sweden for that trip. 2 people from Toronto that cover the Maple Leafs, Joshua Cloak and Jonas Siegel. We have Ian Mendez, our Ottawa writer, Max Boltman, our Detroit writer, Joe and myself. But then we just hired Chris Johnston to be a national writer. Everybody knows CJ, and he's a huge newsbreaker, total game changer, bringing him to The Athletic to work with Pierre LeBrun. So super excited about that. So we're going to have 7 of us there, and we'll have just wall-to-wall coverage of the Global Series games there with the Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings, Ottawa Senators, and Minnesota Wild going. We've got some great stuff planned here at Minnesota. And here's the huge announcement for this podcast. We are doing, Joe Smith and I, not only a fan meetup at a sports bar in that is, by the way, magnificent in Stockholm, huge area, but we're going to be doing a live podcast there as well. So the time is 6 to 8 p.m. November 16th, it's a Thursday, at O'Leary's Tolv Stockholm, and we'll have all the information on our on our social media, but if you want to go to the website is O'Leary's, O-L-E-A-R-Y-S .se/Stockholm-Tolv, T-O-L-V, -event-center. So O'Leary's Tolv Stockholm, November 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. So I know there's a ton of Wild fans going to Sweden for this trip, and I also know that there are a ton of Swedish citizens that are huge Wild fans, probably because the number of Swedes that have been on the Wild, not only now, but through the years. So if you're in Stockholm or if you are going to Stockholm, Joe Smith and I will be doing a meetup on November 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. at O'Leary's Tolv Stockholm. But not only that, we will be doing a live podcast there. There'll be food, there'll be drinks. There'll be a chance to meet your fellow Wild fans, live podcast, and we're going to be doing some giveaways as well. Hope to have some Athletic swag there for you, maybe give away some Athletic subscriptions, and maybe some other cool giveaways that we'll have as well. So again, November 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at O'Leary's Tolv Stockholm. And again, we'll put this all over our social media in a little bit, and you can definitely come on out. But I can't wait to do the live podcast as well. It should be a blast. Let's talk about the Wild right now. Off to a really, you know, convoluted, choppy start. 2-2-1. They've lost 2 in a row, including the overtime game against Columbus on a second of back-to-back for the Blue Jackets at home. And so not a good start to this homestand, not a good start to the season. Long season ahead still, 77 games. And if you remember, the Wild got off to a real tough start last year where they were having trouble defending, having trouble getting saves, and we've seen that so far. We saw an incredible performance by Filip Gustavsson on opening night against Florida, 41 save effort at home. But really from then on out, other than the game in Montreal against a, you know, pretty easily beatable Montreal Canadiens team, the Wild just haven't played well. Toronto, they outplayed the Leafs at 5-on-5 for 50 minutes of the game. But just couldn't get enough goals there. And then they just gave up some unbelievable scoring chances. And Filip Gustavsson wasn't very good and got lit up for 7. Then they come home and play the Kings. Marc-Andre Fleury was terrible in the game, especially in the first period. There was a stretch in that first period where the Wild gave up 1 shot in 13 minutes. And yet at the end of the period, they're down 4-2 because Fleury gave up 3 bad goals. One, I still don't think it should have counted. I think it was kicked in by Dubois. I don't see any evidence that it hit anybody's stick. The league, at first, I thought it maybe hit Brock Faber's stick, which actually shouldn't make a difference. But the league says it hit Dubois' stick. I just don't see any video where that's clear. To me, the puck was on edge after being kicked by Dubois, clearly. But the puck needs to be stopped. And then Fleury is frustrated, probably because he didn't get the call, but probably because he gave up the goal. And then he just turns the puck over on the next play into the zone and gives up a cheesy one there as well. So not good there. And then they come home and Gustafson is just shellacked for 91 shot attempts, 54 shots on goal, and they lose 5-4. Hard to blame Gus there for anything in that game. But they're not getting great goaltending. They're getting terrible play from not just their blue line, but their forwards, not giving the blue liners options. They're not getting out of the zone cleanly because the forwards are just, you know, basically like beelining it out of the zone to try to get on offense and not giving them outlets. So this Jarrett Spurgeon injury has wreaked havoc on the team. And not that Spurgeon is the end all be all, but what it's done is it's just put everybody into different spots. You have Goligoski out of the lineup, John Merrill's banged up, and now you just have Jake Middleton not playing with somebody he's comfortable with, even though I think that he absolutely respects the heck out of Brock Faber. But what was a shame is that Faber and Brodin were such a perfect defense pair to start the season, and then because their blue line was having such trouble, Evason and Bob Woods basically split up their blue liners and took their two best blue liners in Jonas Brodin and Brock Faber and put them on separate pairs. I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised that at home, especially when you can control your matchups, they don't try to play the two of them more, but so far we haven't seen it. And now Damon Hunt is coming up. We will find out at the morning skate, and you'll know by the time this podcast is out is whether or not Damon Hunt is making his NHL debut or if John Merrill is going to be able to play. At a minimum, Damon Hunt called up for the first time in his career, and he's going to go on the 3-game road trip coming up to Philadelphia, Washington, and New Jersey. So chances are we are going to see Damon Hunt's NHL debut at some point here in the near future. Vinny Lattery has been called up. Sammy Walker came up, played two very nondescript games, once on the second line with Johansson and Eric Sadek, hardly noticeable. And then I thought he played better on the fourth line the other night, had a great defensive play that started a huge forecheck in the third period. They obviously wanted more from Sammy Walker. And right now, if you were called up from the minors, you don't really have the luxury of just kind of blending in. As we saw, what was so good about Walker last year is that he made every time he came up, we at least saw him. You know, he was noticeable. There was FU in his game, as Bill Guerin would like to say. We didn't see that as much this time around. And so Vinny Lattery now gets the call up here. The goal for him is to add some speed, some skill and some bite. We saw that in training camp. He had a really good one, but even in the exhibition games, not only was he producing points, but he was just physical. And so they're hoping that right now, at least, they could start him on the fourth line tonight against the Edmonton Oilers with Connor Durr and Brandon Duham, and he can make an impact. But he could easily be elevated in the lineup as well. And I think that normally they might have even plugged him right into that second line with Marcus Johansson and Joel Eriksson Ek. The issue, though, but Pat Maroon played really, really well there the other night. Didn't slow the line down, was gritty as heck, made plays, won board battles, and had two assists on a line that had 15 shot attempts and generated three goals, one from Johansson, one from Brodin, and one from Dakota Mermis. He sticks there at least to start the game, but if something goes awry tonight, they can always move Lattery up, they can always move Goudreau up. Although at this point, I got to tell you, that third line, as well as they've played, and as much as Bill Guerin and Dean Evason have raved about the third line with Marco Rossi, Marcus Foligno, and Freddie Goudreau, they have one 5-on-5 goal scored this season. That was Marco Rossi in Toronto. Really, Freddie Goudreau needs to start picking it up. Marcus Foligno needs to start finishing on his chances, but Freddie has been unbelievably quiet for somebody that had 19 goals last year. So he needs to bring more, and if he's not, maybe you move him down. Who knows? The other option is moving him up to that line and maybe playing with Johansson and Eriksson Ek and spur him along. One of the bigger problems on the team right now is the Kaprizov, Zuccarello, and Hartman line. They're just not generating anything at all at 5-on-5. It's been really hard to watch. They're turning pucks over. They're playing east and west. They're starting to play selfish hockey. That play in overtime the other night where Kaprizov and Zuccarello couldn't connect on the one play, and then they essentially have a retreat and decide not to go for a line change, even though they were dead tired. It wound up losing them the game because then they don't have enough gas. Finally, they regathered the puck. Kaprizov gets bumped off the puck like nothing. And next thing you know, again, they had a chance to change, didn't. And now they're just dead tired. And Jack Roslovic just easily split both Kaprizov and Zuccarello. So they have to be much, much better. This is not just because of the number one center. I know fans always love to just, if when Kaprizov's not playing well, it's always Hartman's fault. Hartman isn't the one that made them do that in overtime from the bench the other night. But their 3-on-3, which was so good last year, was not good the other night. Rossi had a bad play. Hartman had a bad play. Addison dumped the puck in overtime inexplicably. They need to be better. I was a little surprised at practice yesterday. They really work on that, but they had so many other issues they had to work on in their, 40 minutes on the ice together. And that's defensive zone play and things like that. So we'll see if they need to be better. The one thing Hartman definitely has to do a better job at is offensive zone draws. He's lost 13 of 23, and obviously you lose the draw there, and now you're chasing the rest of the shift. But Kaprizov just has not looked himself all season. Not a ton of pop to his game. Flubbing shots left and right. And just not managing the puck well, turning him over and things like that. So Kaprizov, who always says that he gets off to a slow start, even when he's producing, needs to figure this out quick to help turn this around, because the Wild do have some winnable games coming up. Washington hasn't been very good, but the Wild always struggle there, and it is the second of a back-to-back, but the Wild usually play pretty well in Philly. And Philly's had some big wins lately, though, so they've, it's not going to be an easy game. And then New Jersey's one of the best teams in the league, but the Wild usually play really well there, win there. And Matt Boldy, everybody remembers the magical buzzer beater in overtime last year. And speaking of Matt Boldy, he is going on the upcoming road trip. Now, they have no practices. They're going to practice, at least they're scheduled to practice here in Minnesota on Wednesday before hitting the road for Thursday's game in Philly. And then they play Friday and Sunday. There's a day off Saturday. So they have no actual practices, but he'll have the ability. We'll see if he gets on the ice today at the morning skate. But if they practice tomorrow, if he practices in Minnesota, then he'll have the morning skate Thursday. Friday, if he doesn't play against the Capitals, whoever is the goalie in that game will come down to the rink and take some shots, I'm sure, so Boldy can get on the ice that day. And then maybe we see him come back in the building that he was so good in last year in New Jersey. So that's what's going on with the Wild right now. Again, Andrew Height is my guest, and the big thing to pay attention to is our social media, so you get some more information, again, about our November 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. meetup, Joe Smith and I, in Stockholm at O'Leary's Sports Bar. It's called O'Leary's Tolv, T-O-L-V, Stockholm. So O'Leary's.se/Stockholm-Tolv-Event-Center. Without further ado, Andrew Height.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, as mentioned, really happy to be joined by Andrew Height, who's probably, this is probably your seventh or eighth straight from the source, Andrew. And every time we do one, there's always new stuff to talk about, especially at the beginning of a new season. And the biggest difference that I see right now is you have an ATM machine in your office, and you have no desk anymore. It's just a table. What happened?
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having me back on again. I feel like, it's my yearly
I think last year we recap. Did too, because of the alumni association too, and the crazy game of hockey.
Yeah, we got that in underneath us too, and we can talk a little bit about that. But yeah, the ATM machine, when COVID happened, all teams went to like a cash per diem card. And this past year the guys were like, well, we love cash, and we can't have any cash anymore, and so I was sick of them complaining back to me. So we kept the cash card, and instead I called the bank and I had an ATM delivered to my office. So we have an ATM in the office, and we can they can get their fill now.
So basically, so if they get their, they get uploaded the amount of, it's 132 a day on non-game days and 66 a day on the road. And so they, before each road trip, if it's a 5-day trip with three things, they'll get what, 66 times three plus 132 and 132. And then if they want cash, they just come here and get it.
Yep. That's okay. What it is. So,
and then the one thing I've heard here, a little complaint from a couple players, Ryan Hartman had a question. Why is there an ATM fee and why is it going to your pocket?
I'd say that's for my counseling fees, having to put up with those guys, right? Like they rag on me every day. So that's just an added fee. No, I'd love to say that I did, but I, you know, looking at it, I thought that might be a little bit of, you know, that might go against some HR rules if I was putting that back in my pocket. But no,
you couldn't get the fee waived.
It's definitely been the talk of the locker room corridor. Everyone that pops their head in is like, "Oh man, I didn't know this." So it's funny how much one little ATM machine can cause a lot of conversation.
It's so funny. And then where'd your desk go?
You know, again, with COVID, you know, gosh, that's already 3 years removed, but we turned my office into a hockey operations workroom. And we needed to do that during COVID because we needed a secure place to go when we were living inside the bubble close to the locker room. So hockey ops worked out of here and it never changed back. You know, being on the road 160 days a year, my desk is really out of my backpack, right? Mm-hmm. Out of my briefcase. So I just need a table to set up. And, you know, the one nice thing is if you don't have an office, no one knows where you are.
Yeah, right?
So I can do my work from anywhere.
Yeah. And as everybody, and I've seen it, your phone is your lifeblood. You basically just need your phone and you're able to do your job. All right, let's talk about, I got a lot of great Twitter questions from people, and then I got some more questions from some of your players and staff. But you know, what I always like to do with your podcast is we kind of break down the schedule and talk about some of the oddities that go into a season. And let's actually come back to Duluth, but let's start with Sweden, because that is right around the corner. You've been dealing with it for a long time. You guys are going for 7 full days to play 2 games against Toronto and Ottawa, back-to-back games. Very odd start times, by the way. I think you have like 21 and a half hours between 2 games, which doesn't seem exactly fair. What does it entail to book an entire, not only just your team to go to Sweden, but you've got NHL people, corporate people, alumni, all on the team plan.
Yeah, this is exciting. The last time we went, we did a global game, was in Finland, and that was before me, and this is my 10th season. So it's been a while since we've been able to get over there and showcase ourselves to, you know, the different part of the world. And with us having so many Europeans on our team, and, you know, especially Swedes, the NHL chose us to go over there, and we're going over with Ottawa, Toronto, and Detroit. And like you said, we're playing 2 games, one against Ottawa and one against Toronto. But yeah, this started months ago, right? And credit to the league with, you know, the work that they've put into it and the work, you know, alongside of us. You know, they have event after event after event. You know, I'm talking to some of the higher-ups with the league now, and they're in Edmonton getting ready for the Heritage Classic. They just got back from Australia. You know, they it's one after the other for the league. So, again, credit to them to keeping everything, you know, moving and in line, but there's a lot of moving parts to this thing. You know, we go over for 7 days, 8 days technically, with us leaving on the 13th. And it's us wanting to bring, you know, unique corporate partners, ownership, as well as the league relying on us to get some of their staff and on ice and off ice officials over, and NHL alumni reps and corporate reps, and, you know, it'll be a good, unique group getting on that plane. Of course, it's a different plane than what we're normally used to. We're used to a VIP configured plane, which is unique in itself. You know, anyone outside of the sports world that gets on our plane is like, wow, this is really cool, right? We have
all first class seats.
We have, you know, tables installed. I think I can lay down in the bathroom. It's so big.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a unique plane that we usually ride on, but this is a large plane. I think it holds over 200 people, and we'll have roughly 115 to 120 people on our flight. So.
And with this comes, I mean, you got to deal with customs and all that type of stuff. I mean, you deal with that in Canada anyway, but I mean, any other special things that you had to do for this type of trip?
Yeah, there's one rule that's in place right now. Any Russian person going into...
That was kind of what I was asking.
Yeah, going into Sweden needs a special visa. So we had to go through the process of getting Krill set up with the right visa, and that's no issues on that end. And really making it an experience for the guys, you know, this is a unique opportunity. Mm-hmm. You ask every single one of our guys or people on the travel party, they're excited to go. Yes, it's in the middle of the year where we're not, you know, we're usually on that normal grind where we'll have a couple practice days, we'll have a full off day. And I've actually leaned on Brodin and Eck quite a bit and Johansson to say, hey, what should we do over there? You know, they know better than anyone. I call Brodes the king of Stockholm. So it'll be fun to see them in their own element, really. And so we have a couple nice dinners planned as a group, and Brodin helped with that. And we'll have a fan group that we'll interact with. I think we had a fan group. We had a ticket package and it sold out very quickly.
Yeah, so I saw that.
To see hundreds of Minnesota fans come over with us will be cool. And then a very unique group of our important corporate partners. So it'll be fun to interact and, you know, hopefully put the phone down and hopefully put work away a little bit while we can enjoy it.
That's really cool. And I mentioned at the top of the podcast, Joe Smith and I are actually going to be doing a live podcast and a fan meetup on November 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. at O'Leary's. So listen to that and check out all that information. The off day, are you able to kind of give a, like I remember in Helsinki, it was actually really cool. I was like basically embedded with the team and I got to see, you know, them. That was a different experience too, because they opened the season in Helsinki. So they did they did in Tampere, I think it was. They played an exhibition game there. Clutterbuck had a hat trick, if I remember. But then they did like a city tour where I basically went around with them. And I still remember the woman that led it. It was hilarious. I got pictures of it on my Facebook/Michael Russo hockey page if you want to see it. What are some of the things that you'll be doing?
Yeah, you know, we have an off day. We have a scheduled off day, which is mandatory. Mm-hmm. You know, the league and the club work very closely, but also the PA. The PA wants to make sure that the you know, players group is taken care of the right way. You know, it's an 8.5 hour flight both ways, so it's an adjustment period, and we'll get a full off day. And you know, talking to the captains and the Euros, they've elected to do their own thing.
Okay.
So we won't have a official team building activity, but knowing how tight our group of guys is, they'll be running together, the city anyway. Together.
Yeah. I went to Stockholm at the end of August, and it's just an incredible, beautiful city. And actually where the NHL media tour was is actually your team hotel, and it's just a outstanding hotel. So you'll love that. You got the best of the hotels that I hear were options.
That's what I've been told too. And it's fun to, you know, we'll be in the same hotel as the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, it's one of those things too, where
you have to keep Revo away from, couple guys.
We felt it in the bubble too, right? Like we were, you know, when we were in Edmonton, we were in the same hotel as two or three teams. And, you know, you get in the elevator with, you know, the people that you're going on the ice against, right? And it's a weird dynamic, but everyone's there for the right reason. And it'll just be a fun, really kind of, it'll break up the mundane, you know, travel.
And coming back is nonstop, right? No stopping for refuel?
Yep, and from. It's nonstop, which
Helsinki,
is nice.
Helsinki, the team had to stop in Iceland in the middle of the night, like pitch black.
And which is, it's interesting you say that, because we have a special charter just for us that they made an exception to go. Of course, the plane can make it there without refueling, and it'll be, like I said, about an 8.5 hour flight.
That very cool. All right, let's talk about one other thing that I think is unbelievable, is that you guys got the lucky draw of being in Vegas for the Super Bowl. Hotel rooms, I could tell you for a fact, because Joe Smith is covering that for us, is beyond belief. I mean, like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a night in certain hotels. Like he couldn't get into the Residence Inn for less than $5,000 a night. So how hard was this for you to book?
Yeah, as you know, Michael, you know, the schedule comes out in June around the draft time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really start my heavy planning for this season. I'd like to have everything done by middle of July, end of July. And it was done except for that one game.
Right.
Like you said, we fly into Vegas on Super Bowl Sunday. Luckily, I think the game is, a 5:30 or 6 o'clock p.m. start. So hopefully everyone that's going to the game will already be at the stadium, and the city will be a ghost town as much as Vegas can be a ghost town. But we'll arrive in that afternoon and, you know, just stay one night. But you're completely right. It was the toughest hotel booking that I've ever had to deal with. You know, now Vegas being 5 years in, we've gained relationships with hotels, and I reached out to them like I always do. And, you know, their sales directors and revenue directors were honest with me, and they're like, we can't even have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we know where your budget's at, and we can't even talk. And so those conversations started, and you're right. Those dollar amounts were in the thousands, not to mention 2-3-4 night mandatory stays.
Yeah.
And with us only having one night there, I can say that some of those dollar amounts would have eaten up 3/4 of my yearly budget for just one night stay. So, I went to about 6 or 7 different properties, and, you know, one was able to give me a rate that would work. And then their revenue director stepped in and said, no, that's not going to. And 2 or 3 other ones gave me rates that, again, were just astronomical. And the others didn't even want to talk. They couldn't talk. Their hands were tied. And so then I actually looked on my own account, and there was a 30-mile radius that I couldn't even find a hotel.
Yeah.
So I actually had to go all the way up to my global rep at Marriott and, you know, play the I need help card. So we ended up getting a spot established, and we're all set, but it was something that I've never seen before.
Yeah. For a while I was thinking that you guys might have to stay in like LA or Palm Springs and just fly in on the game day, like an exhibition game.
Yeah. It was one of those situations where, you know, you look at the calendar when you first get it and you circle it because you know, this is going to be tough to get through. And, you know, myself and Dean and Bill and Chris, we sat down multiple times trying to figure out what other options would be. And luckily we got one. But yeah, Vegas, you talk about a city that's on fire right now, right?
They
go from the Stanley Cup finals to a big music fest to the F1 race to now the Super Bowl. It's definitely a popular city.
And maybe an NHL draft there, although they're still having trouble booking that. How many players have already come to you and said, you got to get me into the Super Bowl?
Like, you know, hey, what? I think, you know,
or have they not even put 2 and 2 together?
No, they're gonna be know. There? They definitely know. They have it circled on their calendar too. Uh-huh. But being a night before the game, you know, Hartsey and Moose are, you know, they're kind of the setup guys for cool activities, and talking with Spurge too. I think they'll probably just watch it someplace as a team.
Get them a ballroom, or
go to a cool restaurant or bar or casino and watch it there.
Makes a lot of sense. What other cool things do you have this year? You have a couple long trips to California too, which I usually, you know, means golfing and team bonding. And
yeah, you know, I think we talked about this in last year's pod, but Dean and Bill are so strong on team building and making sure the room is connected. And, you know, this schedule, we have a lot of back-to-backs this year, so we don't have as many opportunities, but we will have, one, I think towards the end of the year in March, we're looking to stay at a very posh hotel or resort in California and, get a couple days on the golf course and hopefully.
Is that the hotel where everybody gets their own like villa almost?
Oh yeah.
I've been to that one.
We've been there once before too. And it was, you know, it's Pelican Hills. It's one of the most premier resorts in North America. And, we are definitely spoiled during that trip.
Yeah. That'll be really, really, cool. Anything else for the trip? Otherwise let's talk about Duluth.
Yeah, well, you know, the season, like I said, it's an interesting one. You take a look each year; it's so different, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you build out your cool road trips, your train road trips, and actually, we were this trip coming up too. It's one that we could usually,
take a train.
From Philadelphia to Washington, and you know, talking to Amtrak, they couldn't guarantee us a VIP train, which a VIP train it's nice because it's our own. It's a charter train that we get on, we go. They hold any public trains for us and we zip through, but this year they couldn't guarantee one. So it would have been a public departure time, and with you know, the variables that go into a hockey game, whether it's a shootout or overtime or, you know,
yeah, the train's
injuries,
not waiting.
The
for
train's
you.
Not waiting. Yeah. So I didn't feel like all of us running to catch the train like a movie. Yeah. So we'll be flying into DC.
Yep. I still blame you for the delay that I had going Montreal to Ottawa last year. Like I get to the train station and we have like the longest delay and they're like, yeah, it's something to do with tracks and all this stuff. And then it dawned on me, all of a sudden I see you guys coming in there and get on your VIP train. And then suddenly we board and it realized that what they did is they knew you guys were going to Ottawa. So they, with track construction and things like that, they just had us follow you.
Yeah.
So we were late because of you.
We call that the Whitey Express.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really, really cool. Let's talk about Duluth because those trips are always cool. You hadn't been back there since before the pandemic. It was the shortened season that you went up there. And because it's a bunch of you got COVID up there, if I remember correctly. We learned that in Seattle on that first road trip. But this trip was, it looked like a blast. And then, you know, you see guys like Sammy Walker getting the guitar out and really for him to not be a regular player, but have the cojones to sit there and play in front of a hockey team. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Again, you know, credit to ownership and Billy and Dean to want to do a retreat like this. Not every team gets to do something like this, but I really think it's so important for our group, you know, the support staff, the coaches, management, and players to get up to a remote area and, you know, spend 2 or 3 days together. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of personalities come out and shine, right? Yeah. That's where, you know, our team this year, we don't have too many new faces, but, you know, Patty Maroon being one of them, you know, he got to really, you know, show the group who he was. And like you said, Sammy Walker, like first star of the week, right? He had his guitar out. He was playing songs by request. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get 20, 25 guys sitting around a campfire. It's just a good bonding experience. And then we get out, you know, have a staff and player golf tournament. And
tell about the end of that. Down to the wire. It's just a blast. Well, like the video is pretty cool.
We golfed at Northland Country Club, and you know, it's towards the end of their season, so we're the only ones on the course. And Dean has an idea to play 4-man scrambles. You know, instead of a 2-man scramble, it's a 4-man scramble. So there's 8 people on a hole. And we're spread out, but it's about a 6.5-7 hour round. And it was a blast. It was a great day. But being fall like it is, the sun starts to set and everyone comes in on the 18th and it's a tied match, you know, 3-3. So we have to have a playoff and we each group picks their team of 4 to, you know, play 18 up again. And we're literally playing in the dark. And it comes down to a final putt and, you know, Ryan Hartman drains about a 28-30 footer with everyone's flashlight out to see the ball drop into the hole.
It was pitch black.
Yeah. And of course, the players go wild and the staff, you know, hang their heads and head back to the bus. But again, it was just the laughter, the fun, the camaraderie. Yeah. It sets us up to start the season off in a good headspace.
Yep, and Hartsey then got punished at practice next day, a bunch of open backs.
Good, and that's, you know, yeah. Rightfully so.
Yep. You are also the man that's in charge of the new Minnesota Wild Alumni Association. The biggest kickoff event this offseason was the Crazy Game of Hockey weekend where you had the VIP show over at, was it Pantages?
Yep, Pantages in Minneapolis.
And then you had the game, and then obviously finally with OAR, who's, as you know, one of my favorite bands ever, and Corey Wong. And I mean, it just, unfortunately, I had to miss the OAR concert, which just still pisses me off because I was in Sicily, and it still just bothers me that I had to miss OAR because, as you know, I've seen them probably 20 times. But tell me about that whole weekend and just the cooperation that you get both from OAR and Corey Wong. I mean, Mark Roberge and I mean, it just seemed like just an amazing weekend.
Yeah, that we used that event to kick off the Wild Alumni group. And now we've had, you know, small ancillary events since then. And we're planning for a couple big ones here this next season as well. But yeah, the Crazy Game of Hockey was, you know, on paper, it looked like a success and it turned out tenfold even better. You know, everyone, we had over 60 celebrities come in from current. We had six or seven current players to, you know, a good group of Wild alumni come in, Nicholas Backstrom, Pierre-Marc Bouchard, and then some local guys too. And it was such a fun event from a celebrity to a player standpoint, getting those guys on the ice. And, you know, guys like Joe Mauer reaching out to me after the fact saying, gosh, it was cool to be, you know, play on the same ice as Mike Modano, or, you know, guys from the show Letterkenny or the Barstool Sports guys or musicians, just kind of, you know, stepping out of their elements and being able to be kids again and, you know, really embrace the weekend. And I'd like to say, I you know, we're going through the process now to get it approved again to do next season. And hopefully you'll see that in the coming weeks. But I'm going to say we need four teams now because the 60 celebrities that were there last year want to return. And between Mark, Corey, and I, we've probably had 40 to 50 other celebrities or musicians and
that's great.
Former and current players that say, hey, why weren't we invited to this? So it was just an overall fun weekend. And
will it be a crazy game of hockey again? Like, is OAR even available?
Yes. Yeah. And that's where, you know, they, at the end of the weekend, they said, we want to be a part of this for a long time to come. And actually, we're heading to New Jersey this weekend, staying in Hoboken, and I'm going to take the ferry over and grab lunch with Mark and catch up a bit more. And I'm sure that's going to be one of the topics of our lunch conversation.
Yeah, their tour just looked awesome. They're, you know, one of my favorite OAR concerts I've seen. I think they actually did a documentary about it during it. Is the show they did probably 10. Maybe longer, years ago at MSG, Madison Square Garden. And it was just unbelievable. And that's when I really, like, I mean, I've always been a fan of OAR, but Jerry DePizzo, like, watching him from stage, like, belt out the sax or play the bass or anything. Like, he's great. And I got to, they played the Basilica Block Party once. And after the show, I went over to Paul Fletcher to Union and hung out with Benji and Richard on and all those guys. So
it's a really good group.
Such a great band.
Actually, I'll see Richard and his family in they're based out of DC. So
nice.
I'll see Richard in DC. And then the next day I'll jump the ferry and go grab lunch with Mark. So they've become good friends of mine. And it's, you know, Michael, you and I talk about this all the time. It's so fun to see athletes, want to be musicians and musicians want to be athletes and other, you know, athletes too, because they know what it takes to get to the level that they're at in their trade. And, it's the level of respect is so cool to see. And you know, me being kind of on the outside looking in closely, it's just kind of fun to live through them.
Yeah. So. And did you go on stage, at Armory?
Yeah. Mark, the day before, you know, the day of the Friday night event, he goes, how about we just, let's do a conclusion song and let's bring everyone up on stage and guys can grab cowbells or harmonicas.
That's cool.
And so there was about 45 of us that came up on stage with them. And it was a cool, again, it just kind of recapped the whole weekend of fun and unity, and it'll be fun to see what we can do for future events.
Yeah, Armory is an amazing venue. I went to Trampled by Turtles there last November, December, their album release party, and it was amazing. I'm going to skip the Rangers home game, come up here. I'm going to see Judah and the Lion and Need to Breathe there. So what's next with the Alumni Association? I know I've asked you about this 1,000 times, but any updates on like when maybe a Ring of Honor or things like that?
You know, I think that's what this year is going to really, we're going to dive into that now. You know, we got to get through Sweden, and then we can kind of start those next conversations of how do we highlight, you know, year 25? What's the next in line? You know, we have a lot of really good, you know, former players that have been rooted here for many years. And, you know, we're not a young organization anymore. We have a lot of really, really salt of the earth people that have come through these doors, and we want to start to highlight them as much as we possibly can.
I hope I'm on a committee that can help pick these guys to.
I will say, you know,
it's my 19th year covering the team. I have a pretty good basis. I didn't cover the first 3 years.
But. You know, coming from the Twins, they have such an established Twins Hall of Fame, and, you know, being good friends still with Dustin Morse over there, He knows I'm knocking at his door to pick his brain on how we can, you know, make this a success from the start.
All right, let's go to Twitter questions and also player and staff questions. This is from a goalie named Philip Gustafson. Why do you discriminate on one player on the group chat? Why?
You know what? He knows exactly why.
Actually, if you're an Athletic subscriber, you know exactly why, too, because I wrote about this. I think the headline was called The Green Bubble.
The backstory, yes, the green bubble. A way that I communicate with the guys, with the group, and with really everybody, you know, iPhone has made communication so easy, but he is the one person in my 10 years of working with the Wild that does not have a blue bubble.
Yeah.
He has the green bubble. And you know, I had a conversation with him right off the bat when he arrived. And I said, you know what? You're going to be excluded from the group chat.
Yeah,
if you don't get an iPhone, you're going to be excluded. And he said, you know what? I'm not a sheep. I'm going to keep my green bubble. And I said, hey, that's okay. That's your own personal decision. And he actually used his wife's iPhone for a couple of weeks to see if he liked it. And now the joke is he's going to get a large iPad and just carry that around so that he can get the group chats. So I
wonder if we can get like an Apple Watch, but connect that to the iPad, and then it at least comes in.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure something out eventually. But I think
what would suck about that from his perspective, because I respect it. I get it. He hates the iPhone. Thinks it's too simple, is what he says. But it just feels like the group like banter is what you would miss. These are teammates and all the inside jokes and the fun stuff. Heck, they're probably ripping on him and he never even knows it.
Yeah, there is definitely banter on that group chat, but
can I get him on that group chat?
There's so many.
Can you just sneak my number in there?
That is a locked account. There's so many things that either Spurge or Hartsey or Moose will put in there that I'll have to copy and paste to give to Gus to make sure he has all the information. But he's a good sport about it, and I'm dedicated to making him a blue bubble by the end of his contract.
Question from Marcus Foligno, and this actually might be also Ryan Hartman, what he meant by this is, so Ryan wants to know if you could show me pictures of what you look like in college. And then Marcus said, if you could talk about your college wrestling or heyday or your high school wrestling.
This story goes back to, it had to be seven or eight years ago. Chuck Fletcher was still the GM, and as you know, the Minnesota State High School wrestling tournament is always in the XL Energy Center. Uh-huh. And they had the mats rolled up on the end of, you know, where the players walk in, and they're like, hey, let's have a wrestling match. And of course, me being me, and Travis Green, our massage therapist and athletic trainer, he is a state high school wrestling. He went to like the state high school tournament back in the day.
Okay.
And I don't know if anyone that knows wrestling knows, once you have it in your body, it's like riding a bike, right? And he's in tip top shape. And so we agreed to it. We had Kevin Gorg be the MC of the event. And, you know, I wrestled Travis
in front of the entire team,
in front of the whole team. We had our singlets, we had our walkout music.
No shit.
We had our coaches in each corner, and it was, you know, I thought this was for fun, right? Like, oh, it's fun. We had a wager on it. Everyone was, you know, betting who's going to win. And we had wrestling posters made, and we had an official ref come in for it. And let's just say Travis took his training very seriously, and I did not.
Uh-huh.
So we're 7 years later, and I'm still taking heat for losing or getting pinned pretty quickly. Yep.
And I assume there's video of this, which
there's video, probably. But once again, that's on a locked account that not many people can see.
So what did Ryan mean about what you look like in college?
Well, I lived in the gym. I was I would like to say I was a meathead.
Oh, that's why
I was a meathead in college days. So
somebody did ask me if if you took roids. So.
No, they always give me a hard time because my college pictures. I definitely lived in the gym.
Here's probably another inside joke. Why is the plane sometimes? Why doesn't it have blinker fluid?
Oh, that has to come from the equipment guys.
Yeah, that's Phil.
They give me a hard time because, as you know, there's a lot on my checklist. So they always joke if the plane is at all late, that I forgot to send in the blinker fluid request, and that's why we're delayed. It's just another one of those little inside jokes that keep it light and
speaking of which, funny. Tony DaCosta says, are you worried that he's going to release your Cabo pictures? Man, this is getting good.
This is getting, is this, I don't
hopefully
know.
Hopefully your family's not listening to this podcast.
I was
going to
say, is this even legal right now?
Yeah.
No. You know what? During the bye week, we go on trips together and he thinks it's funny to pull up me in the swimming pool and show all the boys. So I don't think that's very funny.
All right, let's go to some fan questions. Colin Jacob says, what's your least favorite city to arrange travel to and why? And what's the toughest logistical aspect of your job?
You know, I'd say, again, like being in charge of the operations or overseeing the operations, there's so much that I rely heavily on just other people doing their jobs, right? So,
speak of the devil, Tony just came in and took a picture of you or us. So,
I rely so heavily on other people doing their jobs right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can give them the information, but it's building relationships and making sure that communication is where it needs to be to make sure everything runs smooth. And then, not to mention, the hockey season runs through the worst months of the year. With snowstorms and weather delays and whatnot. So I'd say, you know, the toughest cities are going up into, you know, Edmonton or Buffalo, New York, or some of those cities that the weather is so unpredictable with delays and stuff like that.
Yeah. Jade asks, we talked about the crazy game of hockey. Who was the one that made you go, wow, we actually got him?
You know, I was really surprised. Actually, it's funny you say that. Greg Ostertag, the former NBA star for the Utah Jazz, 7'2", got on skates. It was a fun day having him around. And, you know, I've stayed in touch with him now, and he still skates on a weekly basis down in Dallas. And he actually owns a sports bar, and he actually just sent me a message last week, and he said, hey, can you send me down a Wild jersey? I'd love to put it up in the bar. We've turned into a Wild bar. So,
oh, that's cool.
Just, you know, building those type of relationships, Greg Ostertag and you know, those other guys that aren't in the hockey world, being able to come on and perform with those guys was fun.
Very cool. Wild Road Tripper Brian asks a question for Andrew. Other than the infamous incident in Ottawa years ago, which you were not a part of, that was all Tony DaCosta's fault. Has there ever been a time where you had to scramble for transportation through no fault of the club or yourself?
You know, we've talked about a couple of them through the podcast over the years. Of course, the fire
in Calgary.
The fire in Calgary is always a good one to remember or not remember. And, you know, there's been a couple times that year we got eliminated in Winnipeg in the playoffs. That was a tough one. We had plane mechanical issues. And long story short, I had to fly a new plane in from Minneapolis, get a new crew. And, you know, after being eliminated, we didn't get back to Minneapolis until roughly 4 a.m.
You know what I've always thought about that? Like, what Chuck Fletcher had to be thinking about on that plane,
you know,
knowing that he was probably losing his job the next day.
I go back and forth on it too. Would I have been in more heat if we had to play the next day?
Yeah.
Or, you know, either way, it just sucked. There was nothing good about it. And
again, it's not your fault.
You know, again, this group of guys and this group of management and really management from the start, you know, they understand so much of it is out of, you know, my control. And of course, there is the levels of stress that get in the way, and tensions are always hot. But at the end of the day, we work together and get to the end goal.
Fetty Dean says, does Andrew get significantly involved in helping visiting teams make arrangements in the Twin Cities, regardless, is he close with, or does he share ideas with those in roles at other teams? I saw you having your counterpart in Montreal you were having dinner with the other day. I know that your buddies with Sunheim and Carolina. I mean, you have meetings, conferences and things like that.
Yeah, there's 32, 35 of us. A few teams have a couple of them. But we're all like-minded humans. Mm-hmm. We all get along great together. And again, the work that we do, doesn't usually change the play on the ice. Mm-hmm. So we're a very close-knit fraternity, you could say. And we do. We have monthly or we have yearly meetings that usually take place at the draft. And we have a large, you know, trade show to bring in hotel vendors and bus vendors and airlines, restaurants and whatnot. So we have two or three days of meetings that we go through everything and we talk about best practices and what, you know, we have a round table and we go through each city and, you know, we update what's changed, new hotels, road construction, anything to keep our lives as normal and consistent as possible. We do. And again, we, you know, we reach out to one another as we enter each city and we try to grab dinner and, you know, a lot of it's event session as well.
Yeah. A lot of it, I mean, I'm seeing more and more teams starting to stay in Minneapolis rather than here in St. Paul, which, you know, depending, I mean, if it's a 1 day trip, it makes sense to stay in St. Paul, but if, you know, if you could stay at the Four Seasons or something like that, it would make sense.
And that's what's unique. We were actually just talking about this last week. Take Nashville, for instance. 10 years ago, there was two hotels in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is every big brand hotel in the market in that city. So again, with Minneapolis and St. Paul too, we've just been fortunate enough to get a couple new hotels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Omni at Viking Village is a popular one. Now the Four Seasons in Minneapolis. And then the St. Paul Hotel and the Westin in Edina, and you know, we're getting more and more options for visiting teams as well. And you know, the Four Seasons is nice because they do have one of the best restaurants in town with Mara, being in the Four Seasons. That's one of Gavin Kaysen's restaurants.
Yep. And sit at the chef's table. He put me there once. It was amazing.
And you know, with us being so close to Gavin too, we actually met, you know, recently too. They're part of our KZ Provisioning, culinary team that we've brought in house. And so Gavin and Andrew Zimmern, you know, we work closely with them and they do all of our food and locker room needs.
Nashville is such a tough city, still to get hotels that you had to stay at two a couple of years ago, right?
And yeah. That's
on the same trip.
Again, that's been a city that's gotten harder and harder each year as they've become the Vegas.
Try finding a hotel for less than like $450 a night.
The Vegas of the East, we like to call them.
Josh, I remember when it was like always just Boston and New York. Now they're like actually light. I'm staying in New York City on Saturday for $250 a night. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Dallas has become a tough city with all the large conferences. Nashville, Vegas, of course, Boston. So there's a couple cities that have really gotten tough.
Josh says, do the players keep their hotel points and accumulate status like a regular business traveler? Is it like the ATM fee that just goes into the Andrew Haidt account?
No. That's an interesting one. You know, with these
minor leaguers do keep them, right?
These type, I'm not even sure on the minor
like
league
Dakota
side.
Dakota says he has like lifetime Marriott status by now.
With, you know, with us booking such big groups,
mm-hmm.
You know, and negotiating the rates, unfortunately the players don't, you know, that's not part of their you know, benefit, just because we book large groups and from a budget standpoint, it helps because we can lower the rates and fit within the budget. So, and then not to mention the food and beverage and all of that, they go along with a road stay.
Yep. Jordan, we answered this, did the Swedes get to pick the hotel for Stockholm? That's actually the NHL picked that. Kevin Mahoney says, how far in advance is all the travel set? You said in July that you'd like to get it done. What's the oddest, coolest accommodations or mode of transport? I mean, obviously the train is always cool.
You know, the train, it is. It's one of those where, and it's fun to see the guys, the group of travel, the travel party. It's something out of the ordinary, right? So they're hopping on the train, you know, they're a bit giddy. It's something different. They, you know, and we've done the Ottawa to Montreal. We've done the Montreal to Ottawa, the Washington to Jersey before.
Yeah.
So it's just a unique experience. I'd have to say that's probably the most different. You know, we've been able to fly in some pretty cool aircrafts as well. Being a partner of Delta, but, I'd like to say, we hopped on a boat, but there's no real city opportunities for that.
Yeah. You know, you can go to Stockholm somewhere. I did the boat thing. You go to like 11 different islands. It's pretty sweet. A couple for you. And by the way, Whitey's been on a ton of podcasts. So a lot of the questions that you are asking that we're sort of glossing over, if you go listen to these other podcasts, they still hold up. You'll get a you'll get a kick out of them. Matty asks, what's more hectic, baseball season or hockey season? I mean, you didn't have the same role with the Twins, but you you know, obviously know the way that that works. And also, Matty asks, how does ticketing work family-wise for each player's regular season and playoff game?
Yeah, the similarities from baseball to hockey are, you know, there's actually technically the hockey season is longer than the baseball season. And by saying that, you know, you're at the ballpark every day in baseball, right? You do the grind through the summer and you have a couple off days. And, you know, in baseball, those off days can be travel days as well. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was on the PR side in baseball, so it wasn't the grind of the operation role. But, you know, it's the unity of the clubhouse. It's the unity of the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, you become brothers with that group of guys, and it's you win, you lose, and there's successes and downfalls.
When I covered the Marlins, I found it to be more of a grind to cover the Twins, but much easier from the standpoint. Like, you go on the road and you get to actually unpack.
Yeah.
Where for me, it's like, you know, you're flying into Philly late. Yep. To catch up with you the next day, I'm on an 8 a.m. It's a second of a back-to-back. Then I'm on a 7 a.m. to LaGuardia. So, you basically live out of your suitcase.
And there's a funny story to go along with that, dating back all the way 10 years ago to my very first trip. And we don't have to get into the details of what happened on the first trip, but I show up for the very first trip. And in baseball, there's a luggage truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all have team-issued luggage bags and you drop your bag off at the clubhouse and you don't see it until you get to the hotel lobby. Mm-hmm. Well, the first road trip I had was a 3-day trip or 3-game trip. And I show up with my big Twins issued travel bag. And everyone's like, what the hell are you? What is that? You know, as you know, everyone packs so light in hockey, right? Yeah. It's a duffel bag.
It's crazy.
And so I just didn't know any different. And I brought my big Twins team issued hard case to a 5.5-day road trip. And by the end of it, the joke was if I could fit inside it or not, and they were going to just bring me home in that. So
that's funny.
Yeah, a lot of similarities, but also a lot of differences.
Wild Boy is 59 says, your weirdest request that you've gotten.
Oh man.
Brent Burns, like Brent Burns, like bringing a snake on a plane or anything, like nothing like that from you guys?
Nothing like that. We have a pretty even keel group. You know, there's always times where, you know, the group will see a concert come into town and want to meet them. You know, we did that recently with Old Dominion and you know, just really it's a lot of those type of requests are just, hey, so-and-so's in town. Is there a way to bring them down to the room? Mm-hmm. And then I have to kind of start the process of, all right, let's find their tour manager. Let's connect the dots. Mm. Let's, you know, get them some swag and bring them out and meet the guys. You know, there was the first week on the job with Zach Parise's father dying. That was a unique request that I got to help his mother set up the funeral reception. In baseball, actually, I got the request to pull off a wedding in 3 days. For one of our Venezuelan catchers. So that was a unique request. But a lot of, as weird and as sad as it is to sound, no request is weird anymore. Right.
Yeah, right.
I've kind of seen and heard it all.
Yep. And you mentioned, I don't know if you answer the ticket question, like players on the road, they got to pay for their tickets.
Yeah. So,
but at home they get two. Has
correct.
Worked.
Yep. The CBA has it in there that, each player gets two comp tickets, at home. And then we get an allotment on the road, to pull from, but, everything is paid.
Right. And then, like Damon Hunt's coming on this road trip. If all of a sudden you get word that he's making his NHL debut in Washington, Philly, do you just immediately start the process of trying to get his family there, or how does that work? Or would you maybe wait for home? Like, how does that work?
Yep. Again, as part of the CBA, if, you know, for the player's NHL debut, the club is responsible for getting the parents and, into that city, whether it's home or road and accommodations and tickets to the game. So yeah, I'll just be in communication with Bill, Chris and Dean. And if that opportunity arises, we'll get on the phone and get his parents and in here as soon as possible.
He's Saskatchewan. Where is it?
Canada.
Yep. Canada. Garrett says, do players ever want to bring their wives, family on flights with the team? The reason why I laughed is I shouldn't say it, but a player on your team. So I was with him the other day, just outside the rink, and somebody asked him, is your wife coming? Coming to Sweden? He goes, I hope not. So anyway, do the players ever want to bring wives, families on the trip? And if a player wants to go to a visitor restaurant while on the road, are they responsible for getting a ride, or do they even have time? Love it, stuff like that.
You know, it's that kind of going back to baseball. Like you said, in baseball, you unpack your bag. You have 3 or 4 days to sit, to be in that city where your family's able to join. Where in the hockey schedule, it's so hard to, of course, you know, they're not allowed on the team charter. You know, we do have our unique, you know, father's trips or guest trips that are planned, you know, mm-hmm. yearly or, you know, every other year. And that's an opportunity for friends or family to come on with us. But I'd say it's so hard for, you know, family or friends to join us on the road.
Yep.
Because like you said, even your schedule, you're rushing to the airport to get to the next city, because mm-hmm. a lot of times we're in a different time zone each night, right? You know, even looking at this next trip that we leave for on tomorrow, we go Philadelphia, Washington, New Jersey. That's in the same time zone, but we're in a different city every day.
Yeah.
Okay. And it makes it tough. And it's really not that, you know, appealing.
I noticed this trip, you're staying in Jersey the entire time, huh?
Last year we moved over to Hoboken, which was a great move. A great move, I think, on all levels, including my stress level, as Michael's referencing to 2 years ago when we were there at the end of November and there was an accident in the Holland Tunnel.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Billy's having to call Bill Daly and request to push the game back because we're stuck outside the tunnel.
So, that was not a good day
for
anybody.
Luckily, we won that game.
Yes.
And,
didn't Hartman score like immediately or something?
I think we had 7 minutes to warm up, and I think I got the game puck for that game.
Yeah, it was, I mean, if you didn't read that story, I wrote an entire article about just how the mayhem. I mean, basically the deal was that the staff bus was facing toward the Lincoln Tunnel, and the player bus was toward the Holland Tunnel, and one went one way, the other went the other way, and one bus showed up on time, and the other bus is like never moved.
Yeah, luckily I was on the player bus, so I could manage it. At one point in that 3.5 hour trip, I was out with NYPD directing traffic. I was on the phone with NYPD with a helicopter above us.
Something about that building too.
We had New Jersey state troopers waiting on the other side of the tunnel to get us there as soon as possible once we got through. And again, luckily we won, and it's one of those things, again, out of my control, but how do we manage it?
That building, Wild have had a lot of success there. I think Clayton Stoner scored his first goal there, an odd one. Kakinen got his first win there. Erickson Ek scored his first goal there. Boldy scored the buzzer beater there. I mean, there's something about that building that's been interesting for you guys. It's always something. Last question. Mariah wants to know, what's the easiest part of your job?
The easiest part is, you know, just the operation side of it. It's become, you know, somewhat old hat to me, right? Mm-hmm. You build up relationships in each city. You build those contacts in whether it be Delta or hotels or, you know, our support staff with equipment and medical. So it's truly a group effort, you know, start to finish, and being as close as I am to the group, again, they know that some of it's out of my control, and you got to kind of take the banter with the ebbs and flows of the season, but know that they're in your corner at the end of it.
Right. I figured the easiest was getting these ATM fees just put right into your account. Well, Whitey, I really appreciate it. Really looking forward to seeing what you have store for the team in Sweden. And again, if you're listening to this, November 16th, 6 to 8, if you're a fan going on that trip, we did make sure that the team had no events for fans or the corporate people at that time. So 6 to 8 at O'Leary's, Joe Smith and I will not only be doing a meetup, but we will be doing a live podcast, a Straight from the Source podcast there, which Whitey has been really, really generous to be a guest on here for the 50th time. So appreciate Whitey, and good luck tonight against the Edmonton Oilers.
Thank you, Michael, and looking forward to keeping you up to date on all the changing activities throughout the season.
Yep. Thanks, Whitey, and here's a word from one of our sponsors. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in to Straight from the Source this week. And thanks to Andrew Height for, as always, joining, providing some really, really cool information and some color for Wild fans and don't get to see the behind the scenes of his job, which is just fascinating and I would think extremely stressful. As you know, podcast galore all over our network. And I'll be on the Athletic Hockey Show every week with Ian Mendez and Julian McKenzie. And this week, you can hear my conversation with LA Kings head coach Todd McClellan on the show, too, on the Athletic Podcast Network and wherever you download your podcasts. And next week, I'll be having the team president of the Philadelphia Flyers, Keith Jones, joining me as well. So again, Todd McClellan this week, Keith Jones next week on the Athletic Hockey Show with Ian Mendez and Julian McKenzie. You can subscribe to the Athletics NHL YouTube channel at youtube.com/@TheAthleticHockeyShow, the at symbol, and then the Athletic Hockey Show. Special thanks again to Andrew Height. I'm Michael Russo from Straight from the Source. Talk to you next time, everybody.